Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, we'll check on phase two of the boardwalk reconstruction project in Ocean City, and we'll meet a local author who tackled the often taboo subject of sexuality for her debut novella. But first, we bring you part three of our series on heroin and its recent rise here on the coast. In the first two parts of our series, we learn just how hard it is to kick an addiction to heroin, and that addicts are turning from prescription pills to heroin because it's not only easier to find, it's also cheaper. This week, though, we turn to law enforcement's role in getting a handle on this uptick in drug abuse and its availability here on the coast. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll speak with Lieutenant Earl Starner with the Maryland State Police about how police in Worcester County are monitoring a major drug trafficking roadway. But we start with Wacomico State's Attorney Matt Massarello. Matt, welcome to Coastal Connection.
Thank you very much.
What are you seeing in Wacomico County concerning heroin usage? Health officials here on the coast tell me they're seeing more and more people seeking help for their addiction to heroin. Are you seeing a similar uptick from the prosecution side, i.e. arrests?
We've seen a steady increase in heroin usage, the arrest of dealers of heroin. Also, you have to understand that we are in regular and constant communication with the Wacomico County Health Department. We're also a part of the a board or a task force on prescription drugs, because it's not just heroin, it's all opioids. We see people that are abusing Oxycontin, they're abusing Percocet, and then, of course, when that becomes too expensive or they have to up the milligram dosage so high, they go to heroin, because heroin has a different effect. We are definitely out there proactively targeting the dealers of heroin. We're making street-level arrests. Of course, you know, we do occasionally pick up the user, but most of our task force, I guess, focus has been on the dealers of both heroin and powder and crack cocaine.
Does it surprise you now that these addicts to prescription pills are now turning to traditionally harder drugs like heroin, you know, just to get their fix since they can't get the prescription pills?
It does not. In fact, it was a phenomenon or a effect that we were prepared for. As you stated, there were some major investigations into doctors that were over-prescribing pills. The pharmacies were doling out pills to these addicts, and we knew that once those avenues were closed down, well, there was probably going to be this uptick in the addicts actually going out to get their fix, going out to get their heroin from the street-level dealers. And that just shows you how if you target one area, you have to be prepared and you have to be aware of what else is going to be affected. And so not only did we see a rise in the heroin usage, where addicts going out to get heroin from street-level dealers, but we saw addicts that were committing armed robberies of pharmacies. We saw addicts that were – we saw an uptick in the cars being broken into, home invasions. So it's important for law enforcement to kind of see the whole entire field and how interconnected things are. It's certainly a very troubling statistic, and that's why we have to work closely, not only focusing on the prosecution phase or suppressing crime, but also on the prevention side and also on the intervention side, actually working with the health department to know their programs, know about the methadone program that they have in Wacomico County. Actually, we're the only county that you know we're the only county that actually has a methadone program on the Eastern Shore.
That's true.
And so having the knowledge of that so that we can deal with the issue appropriately and holistically, I think, is the key. Because we're not going to get anywhere by just locking people up and putting them away. We have to have our eye on also the intervention piece to try to get these folks help, because they are terribly, terribly addicted. And then, of course, for the drug dealers that are repeat offenders, we've been going after them quite heavily and using the state's mandatory minimum sentences to, you know, essentially warehouse those that just cannot comport their behavior, cannot stop selling and poisoning our communities here in Wacomico County and the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Drug court is one great way that we can satisfy, I think, all the goals of the criminal justice system. Are you familiar with our drug court program that we have?
Explain that for people that are listening.
Basically, it's a highly supervised program where a person gets a sentence. So they're sentenced within their guidelines, within the criminal sentencing guidelines. So they get an active period of incarceration. Usually it's a local sentence where they do time at Wicomico County Detention Center. And then when they're released, they're on a period of probation and they have a suspended sentence. So a sentence, a large sentence that's hanging over their head. So they would otherwise be sitting in the Division of Correction, Brian, okay, for a decade maybe. But in this instance, we would have them basically have this large amount of time sitting over their head, and they would participate in drug court, where every week, sometimes twice a week, they have to report to the court. They actually come here, and they have to be accountable. They have to be accountable to the health department, so there's urine screens. We work with them on getting them the help that they need to kick their addiction. We make sure that if they're on heroin, we get them involved with a methadone program. And if they are on other narcotics, we try to get them treatment for that, counseling. They have to have a job. A lot of these folks that get addicted young, they've never even worked before. They don't know what work is. So we make sure that they get a job. If they don't get a job, they don't have a job, we get them a community service. Sometimes they work at the landfill. They do things that our county, you know, we need help around the county. So we put them to work so they learn the value of a dollar and they learn to be responsible. They have to keep journals. They have to keep calendars and they are held accountable and they go through different phases until ultimately they graduate. Not everybody graduates. Currently right now, Brian, we have about 33 people in the drug court program. I have seen at least one heroin addict, a person that is completely addicted to heroin, as deep in despair as a person can be, come through the drug court program, living a productive, healthy life, reunited with their children. I mean, it's pretty incredible what drug court can do. Mm-hmm. Of course, as a prosecutor, I have a lot of concerns when I look at a case. We look at every case on an individual basis. You've discussed the dealers that are dealing high volume, the dealers that are caught with firearms, and then you've the dealer that's just selling to support their habit. They are definitely treated differently. We treat each case on a case-by-case basis. And for those dealers that we catch somebody that's dealing to support their habit, certainly drug court, if they've got a nonviolent background, drug court's going to be a great option for them. We want to do nothing more than to, one, hold them accountable, but also make sure that we are getting the help so they don't become a consistent nuisance and problem for the rest of our citizens. The way I like to describe it, it's an analogy. It's like the water's running into a sink, and by just incarcerating these folks, we're just mopping up the water. The water faucet doesn't get turned off, but by going after their addictions, by treating this holistically and getting the health department involved and getting folks that can get them to be responsible, to wake up on time, to make sure that they're not hanging around, the influences in their lives. We make them change their whole lifestyle. That's actually turning that faucet off so that they don't become a constant problem to the rest of us. Because what these addicts will do is, if they're not getting their fix, okay, if they don't have the money, because heroin has a cost. Oxycontin, of course, has a cost. Right now it's $1 per milligram, and they need about 35 milligrams a pill. Some of them are doing 50 to 100 milligrams, okay, a day. If they don't have the money to do that, they're going to break into your car. They're going to steal your purse when you're shopping at Walmart. They're going to break into your home when you're away at school, you're away at work. So we need to find a way to make sure that these folks have an ability to overcome their addiction.
In recent years, violent crime and gang violence has been in the news in Salisbury. It's been widely publicized that the city, including your office, the mayor's office, the police department, has been battling an uptick in violent crime and gang violence. Over the years, as you have been putting away and trying and convicting these violent criminals, where has drugs and drug trafficking played in that sort of gang violence and what's happening in the neighborhoods in Salisbury? How much of that was drugs and drug-related, particularly heroin?
First of all, statistically, statistics show us that 87% of all crime is some way connected to drugs. Okay, somebody has a drug addiction or drug problem. So there you go. When we start attacking the drug dealers, you're going to suppress crime overall. We also know that not all drug dealers are gang members, But almost invariably, all gang members are somewhere connected to narcotics. And so when we're going after the narcotics, a lot of times we're partnering with the Maryland State Police Gang Task Force and the folks that are working for the Salisbury City Police and Wacomico County Sheriff's Office that are on the Gang Task Force, and we're targeting the same people. And so when we're taking off these dealers, mid-level and high-level dealers, we are a lot of the times, and I would say almost the majority of the times, we're taking off gang-affiliated individuals. And these individuals also have a background of violence. Again, if you sort of draw those Venn diagrams, we're capturing the same guys that are dealing the heroin, that are dealing the powdered and crack cocaine, are also doing have the guns that are used in the armed robberies, and also the homicide rate. You have to understand, a lot of our homicides in 2010, a lot of our homicides, if you traced them, we had 13. If you go back and you trace, okay, what was the root cause? Drugs, drug money, drug ledgers, drug dealing, that was somewhere at the nexus of the heart of those crimes. And that's why we've been so hard in targeting those offenders, from the arrests that are made by the sheriff's office, just in pulling the cars over, just for routine traffic stops that ultimately ripen into a drug arrest because drugs are in the car, or those proactive cases. We had the largest drug investigation in the history of Wacomico County, where we've indicted 72 individuals, from the bottom to the top. I mean, our last guy we apprehended in California, who had contacts with the cartel, Mexican cartel. So again, we're going after sort of like the tail of the snake and the head of the snake to make sure that we try to get a handle on this problem. And as we've done this, as we've made these proactive drug investigations and made these arrests, we have seen the crime rate subside. It's hard to say that they're totally connected, but I don't think that you can dispute that when we've targeted these individuals and gotten these long, lengthy sentences based upon going after subsequent offender penalties, where the judge doesn't have a whole lot of discretion. I mean, they get 10, and it's mandatory minimum 10. It's without the possibility of parole. We've been hitting them hard, and that is because we're basically at war, and we were at war. When you have 13 homicides for the small population that we have, that's it's a national problem. It's a national embarrassment.
It's interesting because oftentimes heroin, crack cocaine, any sort of a community battling that, most people, the first image that they think of is an inner city or a large metropolitan area. What we're seeing nationwide is that major drug problems are happening in smaller and smaller communities, in rural regions such as this one. Let's explain to people that are listening just how widespread this problem is.
Opioids are the problem, and opioids include heroin, but it also includes the legal drugs, Percocet, Oxycontin, hydrocodone. And those drugs, those legal prescriptions are omnipresent. They're everywhere. What happens is, first of all, addiction does not discriminate. White, black, Hispanic, young, old, it doesn't matter. Once your body gets that substance into its system, it can become chemically dependent on it. You have no choice, okay? And so the problem here is, first of all, with prescription narcotics, we have a lot of young people out there that do not understand. They think that it's somehow safe because someone's given them a pill, or they've stolen some pills from their parents or their grandparents or their uncle or aunt, and they think that that's okay because it's prescribed. It's not heroin. It's not as bad as heroin. When it is, it's synthetic heroin. It has the same effects. It's going to have the same addictive principles as heroin. So you've got a problem here, and I'm so, so scared for our young people in our community.
We've been speaking with Matt Massarello. He is the state's attorney in Wacomico County. Matt, thanks for joining us here on Crystal Connection.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm joined on the phone now by Lieutenant Earl Starner. He's with the Maryland State Police. He's the commander of the Berlin Barracks. Lieutenant, thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thanks for having me.
So over the past few weeks, we've been diving into an issue concerning heroin usage and abuse here on the coast. Health officials tell me they've seen a huge uptick in abuse and usage. From a law enforcement perspective, does that always equate to more arrests?
The law enforcement community in general in Worcester County has recognized an increased usage or an increased number of arrests for heroin. doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the arrest numbers alone don't necessarily mean that there's an increased problem. And the reverse is always true, that if that problem is out there, you may not necessarily see more arrests. It could be on the law enforcement side, there could be an increased focus on an area of enforcement, maybe additional resources that have been dedicated to that. And so that would result in an increased number of arrests. And that could apply on the other side of things from the health standpoint. If they have some program or, you know, have suddenly dedicated additional resources, they might see an increase in the number of folks taking advantage of that. And we may not necessarily see more arrests. So the two don't necessarily correlate.
Let's move on to how the drugs are getting here. You talk to many people in the region, and they always point to the major cities that are just a few hours away. But in speaking with some other people in law enforcement, they've pointed to Route 113 as a longstanding superhighway of sorts for drug trafficking. I know that in recent weeks or months, I've seen cigarette smuggling coming from the Eastern Shore of Virginia up into Maryland and Delaware. Speak to that road and its role in drugs getting here to the coast.
From a historical perspective, we absolutely know that drug smugglers and other criminal offenders, you know, crime crosses all kinds of borders, and certainly that includes state borders. And so here in Worcester County, you know, we have two highways, Route 113 and Route 13, that do just that, that connect the different states. So certainly we have a historical perspective there that we know that those are used to move illegal drugs up and down the coast. We, particularly as a state police agency, are well equipped and focus a lot of our enforcement effort on those major highways.
From a law enforcement perspective, are you focusing more on the route and monitoring the route, whether it's 113, whether it's another road, the trafficking of the drugs into the region, or is it undercover agents and narcotics officials out into the field trying to tackle the problem once it gets here?
First, I'll speak to the mission of the Maryland State Police. And our mission is to protect Maryland citizens and its visitors. And we do that through the enforcement of our traffic laws, and that makes our highways safer. We change poor driving behaviors. We remove drunk drivers from the road. The other part of that, obviously, is that we focus on crime, essentially locking up bad guys and taking them out of our communities. As we enhance our traffic safety, our troopers are trained during our traffic enforcement, our traffic stops, conduct essentially what we call the complete traffic stop. And so while we may stop someone for speeding on Route 113, we're trained to look further and look for other criminal indicators. And it's those traffic stops that often result in these arrests for criminal drug offenders.
We've been speaking with Lieutenant Earl Starner. He's with the Maryland State Police. He's the commander of the Berlin Barracks. Lieutenant, thanks so much for joining me here on Coastal Connection, and best of luck.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Next week, we will bring you our fourth and final part of our series on heroin. If you'd like to hear any of the past portions of the series, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.